It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the 6th day of June, 2023. 79 years ago today, the Allied forces landed on Juno Beach, Sword Beach, Omaha Beach, Utah Beach, and began the reconquest of Fortress Europa from the filthy fucking Nazis. Oops, there's our first F-bomb of the evening. But I think it's okay when describing Nazis that way, whether it's 79 years ago or right now, because Nazis are filthy, vile animals. That's just how I feel. But that was 79 years ago. 1 year ago, my life changed forever, because a little girl named Junie entered my life. And yes, in fact, she is 1 year old today, and I love her dearly, and her smile is brighter than the sun itself. And I hope she's having the very best of birthdays. I have to hope, because, well, they're not here right now. Berg and his beloved, and Junie and Layla are all at another location that may yet become their home. And so we will sing happy birthday to little Junie, my little June bug, when she returns here to the hills and hollers of almost level West Bicol, Manchinistan. Hi, I'm Robin, and it is Titanic Tuesday. Please don't, please forgive me if I screw up and think that this is Moran Monday, but no, yesterday was Moran Monday, the 5th, and it was truly moranical, because nothing worked. The internet didn't work, the air conditioner didn't work, and therefore, I think we see the trend here, didn't work. It was frustrating, irritating, yeah. But hopefully, the internet's been sketchy again today, but I'm just crossing my fingers. I at least got the air conditioner going, and it was just unbearable in here yesterday. Right now, it's a pleasant 72 degrees. It was more something approaching the term infernal about this time yesterday. So again, fingers will be remaining crossed. But it is, in fact, Titanic Tuesday. And we have an abundance of Titanic intellect going, you know, named for that great moment in local radio. God, almost 20 years ago when the Morning Monotone, who is no longer with us, took a call from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers and who asked him why there were seashells in the rocks in West Virginia because he'd done seed them in the coal mines. To which the Morning Monotone replied, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." And frankly, there's a lot more emotion in my impression than there was, but nil nisi bonum and all of that. Still no word on the whereabouts of the Titanic kumquat zester. Worked on that one all day long, I promise. But we do have lots of Titanic intellect to deal with. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. As a consequence, we offer up sincere thanks to our, 6th, 5th, 4th, and 3rd day of the month subscribers. And that means thank you to Michael and Madison, who recently celebrated a birthday. I hope you had a wonderful one. And to John, thank you, John. Thank you to Don in West Tennistan. Thanks ever so to Kevin in Colorado Springs. Thanks to Kenda in Missouri, who was recently taking a virtual tour of West Virginia via the internet. She seemed to have a good time with it. From Welch in McDowell County, West Virginia, up 16, headed toward Beckley. She said, "I'll look for you in Beckley." Thanks for letting me know about that, Kenda. Thanks as well to Kim and Malin in New Jersey, and thank you to Thomas. Thank you to Paul. Thank you to John. Thank you to Gene and Ann across the pond. Thank you to Bill in Allentown. Thank you all so very much for being partial sponsors of the program. And thanks as well to Stephen, who jumped in a la carte earlier and reduced our fundraising hole to $1,480. $1,480. I'm not including yesterday. That was a total disaster. And so yesterday's just a miss. So we're at $1,480 to try to come up even with the first 6 days of June because we ended May in such a giant howling hole. Hi, Kyle. Kyle has a burning ambition to do radio, and I think he's going to do it whether I want him to or not. He misses his mother, frankly, and I miss her too. And she'll be home this evening because she's done grandpuppy. She'll be done grandpuppy sitting this evening and grandkitty sitting. I met the grandkitty for the first time, and she's a ferocious little tortie, and I emphasis on the word ferocious, whose name is Ayla, which I frequently fail to remember and use another word entirely. Nothing mean. And in order to help reduce the $1,480 deficit, Ralph says, "I'm offering a $25 challenge for the Trump trial." Oh, yes, the Trump trial. I hope it's not going to be 3 hours of this. I really do. Not the Trump trial, but Kyle. Maybe I can make things a little better. I'm not going anywhere. Just stand by. I don't think it's going to make things any better, but at least I tried. Hi, Kyle. Say hi to everybody. Yes, he said hi. And here in a minute, he'll say, "Wow." But he can't go out because it's dangerous out there. It really is, especially with the next-door Rottweilers and all. Kyle, this is not working for either one of us. But thank you for the challenge, Ralphs, and that'll get us down to 1430. And Ralph said, and I'll add $5 for Kyle. You know what? We'll run out and buy you some kitty treats, Kyle. I'm sure Ralph will be glad for it to go to such a good cause. See, I told you, there it was. Let me out? No? Oh. And he can't run in the house because, well, never mind. This is going to be... Settle down, buddy. Settle down. Lee, as to D-Day, Lee in New York says, American history education is so lacking. I believe that many students believe that D-Day is what follows between C-Day and E-Day, especially in Florida. Just saying. Florida. We got some Florida news in this Titanic stack for the evening. But there's a lot of stuff to work with. She could easily have led Moran Monday, but instead we'll let her lead Titanic Tuesday. Into the boat with you. And I'm talking, of course, about former South Carolina Governor Nimrata Haley, the woman who was tracked by the morning zoo crew of Moscow 99-2, the vulgar boatman, into thinking she was talking to the president of Poland about heady matters such as the goings-on in an imaginary island nation called Bonomo, and which seems to be, it seems only we here at this, we happy few, are the only ones who seem to remember that, and why that's not disqualifying to her, I have no freaking idea. But here we are. Yeah, Randy Radar says, no meowing from the peanut gallery. You tell him, Randy. I'm getting nowhere with this. But with regard to Nimrata Haley, I had a note from Matt in San Francisco earlier today. So, I was on the treadmill the other day, Matt writes. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. There may be some silence here in a moment. So I was on the treadmill the other day, and for some reason I thought I would tune into Nikki Haley's down-home Southern Town Hall on CNN, talk about motivation to keep going on the treadmill. What a sweet, Southern fried, friendly housewife lady vibe. And after 5 minutes, there was that gentle touch of hatefulness and bigotry with a dash of, everyone should have a gun. Then, when she unveiled the women's issue of the day, biological boys in the girls' restroom, I upped my walking speed by 3. The sweat and anger were oozing out of every pore by then. Oh, Nikki. I just imagined going over to her house for a slice of freshly cooled pecan pie. She'd greet me with a warm smile and a, oh, please sit right down, darling. Let me get you some fresh pie with a nice scoop of vanilla bean ice cream. And she serves it. As she serves it, she would lean in close, her big smile exposing her white veneers. It's then that I would feel her plunge the sharp kitchen knife between my ribs. She whispers in my ear, die, you fucking faggot. I'm sure she'd treat you different, Robin, her being a woman and all. She'd probably shoot you on her back stoop before you even entered the house. And yes, she'd tell you to enter through the back door. You can't have the neighbors thinking you would let one of those come through the front door. Sully the parlor. Sorry, that got a little dark, Matt says, but that was definitely the vibe she was giving me. Not sure what other people saw, but it was one hell of a workout. Oh, and it sure as hell was not Nikki who threw the first brick at Stonewall. Yes. Now the backup cowbell's gone. What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? Dang, damn it. I don't know what girl's going to do. Anyway. But, cowbell! We'll just do it that way for a while. It seemed to work for Roy Kent and Ted Lasso. Whistle! Yeah. But, Matt, you're absolutely right. I heard the clip, and... she's awful. She's just awful. And, in fact, In fact, Steve in New York pointed it out to me as well. Biological men playing women's sports. That's the women's issue of our time. Steve noting, perhaps in Bonomo. But, see, Nimrata Haley can't actually talk about the women's issue of our time right now. Oh, no. No, because the women's issue of our time emerged a little, just slightly less than a year ago. The women's issue of our time emerged in the nightmare dystopian opinion of Sammy Bad Breath Alito in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health. It was so bad. You're just not going to let up, are you? No, no, you're not. I'm not going to let you jump up on my lap. Bad things happen. But seriously, she could not mention the women's issue of our time. Because the women's issue of our time was referenced in the dissent to Dobbs, in which the three so-called liberal justices noted that from the moment of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of. It was true then. It seems to be getting truer by the moment. And Republicans are running away from it as fast as they as their little right-leaning legs will take them. And it's not just Nimrata Haley. It's Republicans generally. Well, I'm glad you find it funny, Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut saying, that cat of yours is hilarious, LOL. It's not easy to do a filibuster when you've got a feline Greek chorus over there going, well, no, that's not feed me, Randy. No, he is a well-fed kitty. They all are. No, that's just him not getting his way. And he wants his way. And he's behaving rather like his namesake. That having been said, perhaps that's good. Maybe use Kyle as a substitute cowbell. I think there's some potential there if I can get him to work on cue. You know, give me a minute. Stand by. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this, but I've got to. I've just got to. There's no way to... Oh, by the way, Emilio says, stop being so justifiably proud of your grandkids, Robin. Neobornicular grandparenterist shill. You try reading that cold and saying it right. Stand by. I'll be right back. Now, we're not going to have any cat grabbing. If I hear about any cat grabbing, into the box. I'm not going to have any howling during the filibuster. If there's any howling during the filibuster, into the box. Yes, it's a cat carrier. And he'll be fine for about the next 2.5 hours. I'll check on him during the Green News Report, which we will definitely be running now at about the halfway point of the program. Ralph's wanted to know, Kyle's namesake, my best friend, you know, we were roommates in the newborn unit at the Eliza Coffey Memorial Hospital in Florence, Alabama. Literally. We were born very close to each other in time. Maybe in terms of rooms, I don't know. and his name was Kyle. He was very dear to me. And when he wanted to keep talking, he kept talking. And nobody was going to make him be quiet. So that's Kyle's namesake, Ralph's. Lee said, time to herd cats. Where's the can of Friskies? He's so far past Friskies. He's an Abound kitty. It's a brand they sell at Kroger's, and it's very bougie. Randy Radar, you got a cat carrier in Outer Mongolia? No, just the kitchen. Matt in San Francisco, subject line, kitty. I think he's broadcasting to all the horned kitties throughout the world. He's plotting the kitty revolution. Power to the cat! Well, you know, Marsha Pussycat Johnson was the first cat was the first cat to throw the first brick at Stonewall. This has been your Pride Month moment. See, here it goes. Darlene in Connecticut, your cat's in the pussy gal now. I'm sorry, that was so bad, but I just couldn't help it. LOL. Slight cowbell, maybe. Tankle. Until I find it. Where does all my crap, my stuff, my... It was here Friday. And it's still here, you know, somewhere. Pussy gal. Darlene Gunnar. Lee in New York said, while we were standing by, I still hear Kyle echoing in my head, meow, one out, mom. Lee adding, I was convinced that it was a Star Trek reference, Kyle. Kyle often operated the transporter. No, I wish it was. We'll have to find another way. But there's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. Emilio said, as long as you didn't give him a cup for the carrier, otherwise he'll start rattling the cup against the carrier's gate. Oh, that's what happens when he... Yeah, he doesn't so much rattle it as he bats. After he's... See, he's a West Virginia kitty. And back when coal miners knew what it meant to be in a union, and they would go on strike, the symbol of going on strike was to pour their water out, because they'd go into the mines with a flask of water. And if the miners poured their water out, it was on, that is, strike. So what Kyle does is he dumps his water bowl out, and then since it's metal, he bats it against the front of the kitty carrier. He's an old school union kitty. Tom and Sunny San Rafael said, I sort of like the meowing, but that is a lot. Please don't substitute ringing Kyle's neck for ringing the missing cowbell. No, Tom, no. No. Never. He's a very good kitty. He's just a conversational kitty. Ralph's Kyle saying, meow, meow, meow. That's exactly what he's got a pretty convincing vocabulary, but it really is hard to get a Titanic Tuesday going while you have running commentary about the cat in the room, and then you have to grab said cat. Not a word. You hear? Now we were okay. So back to Nimrata Haley. It's not just her, but it's Republicans in general who, having gotten what they wanted, and having had proven to them in 2022 that what they so desperately wanted, oh, the precious little fetuses, just think about the precious little fetuses, and they're all going to be born now, yes, and we're going to make sure they ain't got nothing to eat after they're out of the womb, yes. They would like to stop, so the most important women's issue of our day is biological boys playing in girls' sports in high school. Oh, they're not boys, you silly twit. But, you know, here we are. Because that goes back to the old Onion article about dude is totally owning it. I only did this to get a trophy. It's just so silly. Brother Deacon Asa, I said not a word, but here we are. Yes and no. We're not going to get all Trumpian about this. Oh, and by the way, little technical note for the program. We'll be performing a bit of an experiment, at least I hope. I couldn't take it anymore. And so I have finally left Verizon. Because it was just so frustrating to have dial-up within sight of a tower, because Verizon has pretty much abandoned this area. And I am now with another carrier, and there is now a replacement for the Stress Line phone. And we will find out if things are any better. It paired with the Rodecaster, you know, the audio interface board, flawlessly. So let there be crossing of fingers. As for Republicans running away from the Dobbs decision, Lee in New York says, oh, yeah, at Josh Hawley speed. Yeah, they're hauling ass. Hawley and ass. But what about the bathrooms? Yeah. And the precious little fetuses. Oh, well, you know what? Now, well, never mind. Just whatever. But the bottom line is they cannot talk about the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is what they have done to women. Namely, taking away any notion of autonomy, any notion of reproductive freedom. And, you know, some of them aren't done yet. They've shown by going after mifepristone, also known as RU486, which sounds like a Russian submarine, but never mind. No, they're not done. And they are more than happy to continue to try to immiserate women. And just because they don't want to talk about it doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about it. Because it is the signature issue. Of the here and now. Not who's going potty where. Not who's running cross country. But who, and that is to say, more than half of the population of this country, has no bodily autonomy anymore. Of course, when a baby's born, just like the Republicans want them to be, insist that they be, there are still plenty of good, God-fearing, upstanding, etc., white-wing Republicans, dudes, who, present in the delivery room, will say, hey, doc, what do you see? Give me that little extra stitch down there, okay? So everything will be nice and snug for me. It's actually colloquially referred to as the husband stitch. And it's awful. It's awful. And it makes further sex really painful, because it's not natural. But that's okay. Republican dads still do it. Because who cares what she thinks? It's all about him. Jesus. And Chris Christie has now entered the race, and Mike Pencil Neck Geek have entered the race, and I'm still flummoxed to figure out exactly what they think their constituency is. Are there roving zombie hordes of Christian Republicans out there wandering around saying, "Hi, have a blessed day. I, too, am a pencil neck geek." And who is Chris? I mean, granted, they're all never they're kind of never Trumpers. I think in the dark and still of the night, when mommy's not there, Mike Pencil Neck Geek still mutters into his tear-sodden pillow, "Daddy," when he thinks about Trump. But Chris Christie's anti-Trump. Nimrata Haley's kind of squishy Trump. Mike Pencil Neck Geek is as un-Trump as he can bear to be before he has to bite the pillow and whine about Daddy. Asa Hutchinson, septuagenarian from Arkansas, who made his fame as a pursuer of the cleanest back in the 90s, he's anti-Trump. That's four I can think of. Monkey Up Duclantis is trying to walk the center line down the road, being both more Trumpian than Trump and somehow less, what did he say last week? Juvenile? Sure. Oh, he got his ass handed to him today, too, by the way. It was a lovely little moment. We'll get to it. But let's see. So that's one, two, three. Nimrata. Asa. Oh. That's very noisy. Gonna have to figure out how to turn the ringer off. We'll sort that out. But it's nice to know it works. Okay, so ciphered again. Nimrata, Asa Hutchinson, Chris Christie, Mike Pence, Vivek Ramaswamy, who likes to blacksplain to African-American TV hosts and get them fired. That's five. Six, Duclantis. We're only one more away from being... did I miss one? We're only one more away from being able to refer to them as the Seven Dwarfs. If only little Marco Rubio would jump in.
Little Marco.
Oh, but he learned his lesson. But you know what? As far as Monkey Up Duclantis is concerned, and understand, I'm not name calling. I refer to him by the words that he himself used and said he had used all his life. Monkey up. And he now appears to be monkeying up Florida. And some of his own, you know, conservative Republicans are beginning to come for him. Because while the cruelty was kind of fun, Florida is, first and foremost, about the money. Yeah, we'll get to that. But one more. One more, and we've got the Seven Dwarfs. And then Disney can sue again. Who? That'll be fun. Plus, of course, Nitwit Nero. Nitwit Nero actually makes seven. But yeah, he's a different Disney villain. Well, I mean, the dwarves weren't villains. If Snow White can sleep with seven dwarves, then I can sleep with one. The What Tut Tut Review. Oh, we've got him. Damn, Clarence, thank you. Cowbell. I forgot about Tim Scott. Yes, I went to T-Mobile, Brother Deacon Asa. You know why? Because their shit works, at least here. And I spend most of my time, you know, here. I love that Asa immediately recognized the T-Mobile ringtone. We'll be working on that. I hate Android. I do. God, I'm going to get email. What the hell's wrong with you? You hate Android. It's customizable. I don't want to earn a degree in computer science just trying to make a call on my damn phone. Get off my lawn. But it was a bargain. So we do have the seven dwarfs because I forgot about Uncle Tim Scott. There they are. Will they start calling them the seven dwarfs? We will. We damn sure will. Thanks for the reminder, Clarence. I really appreciate it. As to Mike Pencilneck Geek, Lee in New York asks, will his main campaign song be Blinded by the White? Oh, do not besmirch that wonderful Bruce Springsteen song, the cover of which by Manfred Mann's Earth Band remains one of my all-time favorites. Don't want any emails on that either. I'm kidding. You can email about just about anything you want to. We did get off and running, though, with Kyle. Kyle Scratch Fever. Christopher in Oregon writes, if Kyle keeps that up, watch out. He'll summon the Motor City Moran himself. Keep him away from your large store of Tannerite and stereo equipment. And somebody said something about thumbs. Oh, yes. Less than 100 in the answer to the kitty revolution. Dave in the Blind says, I heard yesterday on MSNBC there are less than 100 trans athletes nationwide and all this drama. I understand Republicans are attention whores, but goddamn, do you have to put it on the backs of less than 100 young people who simply want to compete? Now my answer to the kitty revolution, Kyle, I understand your grievances. There aren't enough opposable thumbs to make any cat happy. But there's your problem, opposable thumbs. Humans have them. You don't. Your buddy Dave in the Blind giving Kyle a virtual scratch under the chin. And thank you, Dave. I will convey your good wishes when Kyle is out of the kitchen gulag. Wait, the pussy gal. And it begins. Emilio, you don't like Android phones? Die, heretic! Goddamn neoliberal establishment shill! Emilio said, no, I actually prefer iPhones, but got an Android this time for other reasons. Oh, there's a good one. Randy Radar says, Gaston DeSantis, Disney villain. And my favorite line sung by Gaston in Beauty and the Beast. I use antlers in all of my decorating. It's going to be one of those, isn't it? Oh, I know you're kidding, Brother Deacon. We've had the Android versus iPhone discussion in the past. My daily dialer is still an iPhone because it just works and I don't have to think about it because blonde, me thinking is never a good idea. But it is Titanic Tuesday and it doesn't get much more Titanic than this because there was a Titanic temper tantrum today on Capitol Hill. And this story has layers. Not like anything nice, but like onions. I mean, I like onions, but this is a really toxic onion. Kevers McCarthy, desperate to do something, anything, to show the Biden administration that he meant business, after having his shirt taken from him and his lunch eaten during the recent debt ceiling showdown, when it finally came time that the officiators yelled, "Draw!" Well, Biden drew a six-shooter, and the weaker speaker drew one of those clown pistols that shoots out a flag that says bang. So like I said, he had to have something. So by God, he knew. Kevers weaker speaker McCarthy, the man of silly putty, has his thumb on the pulse of the nation, y'all. And that's why he put forward a bill to protect America's access to gas stoves. Oh, really? Gas stoves. There were two white wing bills advanced by the GOP in the House to protect gas stoves. Because while there's nothing being done to gas stoves, they're absolutely convinced that it's a part of some nefarious communist plot to take away America's ability to be cooking with gas. You know, because it turns out there's real live, no kidding science that suggests that cooking with gas in one's home increases the amount of particulate matter in the air of said homes, which in turn, well, those particulates, we've talked about them a lot in the past, and they're not very good for you. And they cause nasty things like cancer and heart disease and birth defects. But nonetheless, having brought this hissy on, and of course, paragons of intellect like Joe to the Mansion Born have also had their hissies about gas stoves. Well, Kevers brought a procedural vote to the floor to protect the gas stoves. And by a tally of 206 to 220, the 220 was the no vote. In a rules vote, you usually only get rules votes when the majority party knows that it's going to get what it wants. But it's been more than 20 years since the majority party lost a rules vote. And so it was that Hakeem Jeffries once again did an excellent job of holding his caucus together, and all of them voted no on the measure. And so too did 11 maggots. Because they're pouting. They're pouting about having their lunch eaten during the debt ceiling deal, and pouting about the fact that they did not get to drive this country into default and cause the entire world economy to crash. And so it was that every member of the Feedum carcass, or not every member, but members of the Feedum carcass, alongside Representative Matt, it just gates worse, took to the steps of the Capitol to bark and grunt and bleat and moan and cry and wail and shriek and scream about what a terrible job the weaker speaker did. In his showdown with Joe Biden. Randy Radar adding, radon doesn't burn since it's a noble gas, but it is a radioactive component of natural gas. Yes, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the particulates that are released within the combustion, which are impossible not to inhale. Can't filter for it. Gas stoves, says Jack in Shreveport. Sounds like some politician is picking winners and losers and meddling with the free market. Oh, you remember well, Jack. Well done. Well played. Cowbell. WWHD, Steve in New York, notes Kevers et al. Were clearly wearing their "What Would Hank Hill Do?" bracelets. That's a quick, impromptu Hank Hill impression. Anybody's wondering. Lee in New York says, it figures that Kevers loves gas stoves. Natural gas does not smell. We add odor to it. Just like Kevers does. Yeah. And so it was, like I said, that a bunch of the maggots gathered on the in the little speechifying spot down from the steps of the House of Representatives there on the Capitol Plaza to tell the world how unhappy they truly are. Of course, Robin, I thought you turned off the mute, but you didn't, so, well, here we go.
The Speaker himself has said on numerous occasions, the greatest threat to America is our debt, and now is the time to act. We had the time to act, and this deal fails completely, and that's why these members and others will be absolutely opposed to the deal, and we will do everything in our power to stop it.
The Republican conference right now has been torn asunder, and we are working hard.
In case you're wondering, that pontificator is Chip Roy of Chlamydia Creek, Texas. We know he's a Christian because he uses words like asunder.
Try to put it back together again this weekend by making sure that this bill gets stopped. I want to be very clear. Not one Republican should vote for this deal.
Yes. This was the mewling and puking prior to the debt ceiling vote.
Not one. If you're out there watching this, every one of my colleagues, be very clear, not one Republican should vote for this deal. It is a bad deal.
Tomorrow's bill?
This, of course, is Clammy Granny.
It's a bunch of fake news and fake talking points that will do nothing to rein in out-of-control federal spending. If every Republican voted the way that they campaigned, they would vote against tomorrow's bad deal because...
Yeah, shut up. Nobody cares. And so it was that, flanked by his minions and cronies, Matt, it just gets worse, said, today we took... His Marvel superhero name, of course, is Captain Forehead. Today we took down the rule because we're frustrated at the way this place is operating. We took a stand in January to end the era of the imperial speakership. We're concerned that the fundamental commitments that allowed Kevin McCarthy to assume the speakership have been violated. And Captain Forehead would know a little bit about violating things. As a consequence of the debt limit deal, the answer to us is to reassert House conservatives as the appropriate coalition partner for our leadership instead of them making common cause with Democrats. And so the 11 were Matt, it just gets worse, and Chip Roy of Syphilis Springs, Texas, and Matt Rosendale of Montana stand, and Rob Bishop of North Carolina stand, and Ken Buck and Lauren Bobblehead Clanny Granny Boebert of Colorado, who doesn't get the stand because they're a distinct minority of Morans. Eli Crane and Andy Biggs, both from Arizona, stand. Tim Burchett of Tennessee. And, of course, Ralph Nauman of South Carolina. And Bob Good of Virginia. And Steve Scalise, the majority leader in this 118th Congress. Yeah, he's from Louisiana. Remember, he's the man who's so stupid that he got shot up with an assault weapon and still didn't, and still can't figure out that maybe it's not a good idea to let civilians just buy them more easily than most people can get a fishing license. Now, he voted no, too, but that's so he can bring the rule back to the floor later on. It's a procedural thingy. All these things were going to die in the Senate anyway. I mean, sure, maybe there would have been some barking and grunting from Joe to the Manchin born, but, well, wasn't going to get 60 votes because there aren't 60 entirely stupid people in the Senate of the United States. So this is kind of a clue, seems like. It's kind of a clue that things are not going at all well in weaker speaker land. You can almost imagine him wailing behind the doors of the speaker's office. It wasn't supposed to be this way. I was supposed to be greater than Nancy Pelosi. I was going to bring about a conservative revolution in America. Mommy! Oh, well. Ah, gee. I hope it doesn't hurt too little. But I mentioned that some of the maggots are turning, and by maggot I don't mean strictly a Trump supporter, but, you know, right, white-wing Republicans generally. Florida representing Rick Roth, a white winger, a member of the Grand Q Party, was part and parcel of a new law that Monkey Up DeKlantis's pet legislature passed. And no, it wasn't one of those bills. Quit it. This was an anti-migrant bill. He was behind, or and a big supporter, proponent of a bill to try to tell new immigrants to stay out of Florida. And you know what? He got his way. Once again, the dog caught the car. And it turned out to have nasty unintended consequences for the aforementioned dog. So, on the in a meeting about the new law, it's Florida Law SB 1718. It takes effect next month. Had a little chat in Hialeah, Florida, yesterday morning. And chatting with Alina Garcia and Juan Fernandez, Barquin, other members of the legislative maggot majority in Florida. He said, the bill has a lot of negative consequences that I'm trying to mitigate. The bill has a lot of positive consequences, which I believe was the main purpose of the bill, which was to keep people from moving to Florida that are undocumented. But see, the migrants heard about the bill. Oh, by the way, in case anybody was wondering, Florida maggot representing Rick Roth, pasty-faced, doughy old white dude. Rick Roth is worried now.
The negatives is there are families leaving Florida right now where some of them work. Some of the family members are legal, and some of them are not.
He said this in an interview with Insider.
But they're all deciding that they're not going to split up and live in two different states. So it's going to be a major problem for the agriculture, construction, and tourism, which just about happens to be most jobs in Florida.
Actually, the number one employer in the state of Florida is the mouse, who's already busy kicking Ron Monkey up DeKlantis' ass, and by extension, his pet legislatures. And so consequently, undocumented workers who, well, remember the line from Hamilton? Immigrants, we get it done. Well, immigrants do get it done. And in by saying get it done, what we mean is that pretty much anything that gets done in Florida gets done by brown people. And so even though he pushed the bill, well, this is kind of like Republicans running away from Dobbs, like we talked about at the beginning of the program during the filibuster. Even though it was their bill, even though it was exactly what they wanted, no, forget it. No, not happening. Rick Roth is doing everything he can to possibly run away from it. He went on and said in the meeting on Monday,
It's more of a political bill than it is policy.
We'll get back to that, too. Because this Titanic Tuesday has a distinct Florida flavor to it.
It does give more police state powers going forward.
Oh, police state. Huh. Florida, fascism, police state. Goes together like peanut butter and jelly, fascism and police state.
It does give more police state powers going forward to deal with immigration, but still, this is mainly a political bill.
And Alina Garcia, whose people were at least one point in time immigrants themselves, said, "Well, let's play the audio."
No sabía que iba a tener que hablar. Pensaba que iba a contestar preguntas. Nada más que Rick Roth, que ha hecho un gran trabajo nuestro representante.
The people clapping are all people who have never worked a single day in the hot Florida sun, picking tomatoes, or working a construction job, or anything of the sort.
I thought that Rick was going to speak, our state representative, and I was just going to answer questions, so I really didn't prepare anything. But I agree with everything that Representative Roth said. This is a bill basically to scare people from coming to the state of Florida. And
it worked.
I think that it's done its purpose. Este proyecto de ley es un proyecto para meterle miedo a las personas que no vengan al estado de la Florida. Y yo creo que ha hecho su trabajo. This bill really doesn't have any teeth. Este proyecto de ley no tiene dientes, ¿no? Y aunque nosotros somos todos inmigrantes.
Well, hold the hell on. It really doesn't have any teeth, but it expands police state powers? I think those two ideas are completely in conflict with one another.
Yo nací en Cuba, yo vine a este país cuando tenía 12 años. And even though we're immigrants, I was born in Cuba, and I came when I was 2 years old.
Uh-huh, told you.
We need to have immigration that is legal. We need to have legal immigration. And the federal government has completely left us, you know, they haven't done their job.
I got it. It's Joe Biden's fault. His crisis at the southern border. Honey, Joe Biden did not put a whole bunch of legal asylum seekers on planes and send them to Martha's Vineyard in Chicago, in Washington, D.C., using Florida taxpayer dollars to do it. If they had a real legislature in Florida, but why do I continue? Monkey Up Duclantis would have long since been impeached for that, but never mind. But see, the migrant community, well, the maggots are selling, but the migrant community's not buying. An activist by the name of Thomas Kennedy said the Republicans are getting nervous about the community backlash to their voting for DeSantis' anti-immigrant law. They're hosting this event to lie and spin. Folks should go and make sure these politicians hear from people who are angry about the damage they've done. And so I said there was a Monkey Up Duclantis angle to this. And Rick Roth was all for it. Well, now that the heat's on, Rick Roth is not terribly fond of the kitchen. Speaking with Insider, Rick Roth said, "Hi, it came straight from Governor DeSantis' office. And we were told we couldn't amend it. It was take it or leave it. So most people decided in the legislature that we're totally upset with the chaos coming across the southern border and voted for it." I guess this is the point in the program. I don't have to with this community, but just for the sake of accuracy, I should note that the southern border of Florida is water. And that the least amount of water before you find land is 90 miles from Key West to Cuba. The southern border is Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and California. And Monkey Up just sent a plane load of migrants, who may also have been legal asylum seekers from places like Venezuela. That's where the group was that he sent to D.C. and Martha's Vineyard. Monkey Up has no power to do anything about anything going on in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, or California. But he doesn't want to run too far afoul of Monkey Up because, well, he still recognizes his master's voice. And he said, "I mean, I don't want people coming to my communities that are not going to be able to get a job and are going to be putting pressure on housing and all kinds of other services when they're not going to be able to get a job. So the bill has a good purpose, which was stay away from Florida." And yet somehow or another, the message of stay away from Florida works. Some people you don't have to tell twice. You don't want us in Florida? Cool. Won't go to Florida. And the whole problem is, it's not people coming there who can't get jobs. The job creators, because remember, Republicans are all about job creators. Well, they need those migrant backs to ride on so that they can make wild horse gagging amounts of money. trying to deal with negative outfall of this nasty little piece of xenophobia. Monkey Up spokes creep Jeremy Redfern. It's very close to Renfield, isn't it? Said in a statement,
the Florida legislature does not pass, nor does the governor sign, simple press releases meant to posture. We are grateful that the legislature got this bill to the governor's desk for his signature. This bill has typhus, and businesses that knowingly hire illegal aliens over Floridians are putting their licenses in jeopardy. We encourage business owners not to roll the dice and test the governor's commitment to uphold the law.
Okay. They're going to love Monkey Up at the annual meeting of the Florida Contractors Association or the Florida Agricultural Vegetable Growers Convention or the Florida Housing and Hospitality Association Convention. Still desperate to blame President Biden, whose fault this is decidedly not. President Biden is not a bigot. President Biden is not a racist. Now, the Speaker of the Florida House of Representatives, one of Monkey Up DeKlantis' personal pets, Andre Malave, Paul Renner is the Speaker, Andre Malave is his spokescreep, said,
hey, that was a direct response to the failures of the federal government to protect our citizens.
We're going to deal with protecting citizens in a second here.
Even more appalling is the concerted effort by liberal activists to gaslight the immigrant community by feeding them a heavy dose of lies by misrepresenting what is actually in the bill.
What's actually in the bill is police state powers, you know, fascism, that has the summary effect of stay the hell away from Florida. At least that's what Rick Roth says, not some liberal! But like I said, protect our citizens. And you know, the federal government in this story could have done something to protect citizens. But there are, of course, also Republicans in the federal government, so that means citizens will not be protected. I'm talking about the horrifying story of a GK A.J. Owens. A couple of kids in Ocala, Florida, are orphans this evening. Because in the neighborhood there, well, a G.K. Owens had gone to a neighbor's house to try to get back an iPad that the neighbor's kid had taken from Ms. Owens' kid. And when she showed up at the home of the parent of the thief, the parent of the thief stood his ground and pulled out a freedom protector and blew a G.K. Owens away. And her kids are without a mommy. The sheriff of Marion County, Billy Woods,
said, well, this appears to be the culmination of a feud between the neighbors. Our deputy's been called 6 to 8 times in 2.5 years.
Before the confrontation, the killer threw a pair of skates at a G.K. Owens's kids. Yeah, Sheriff Woods said, somebody threw something at my child, I'd be pissed off. What parent wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be upset at that, regardless of whether they intentionally threw them or not? I wish our shooter, I love how he describes it as the sheriff of Marion County describes our shooter, not our killer,
would have called us instead of taking actions into our own hands. I wish Mrs. Owens had called us in the hopes we could have never got to the point which we are here today.
Oh, my fucking God. This is what we call victim blaming, y'all. The shooter is a woman. And while Sheriff Woods wouldn't give the shooter's name or age or ethnicity or color, well, the shooter said,
yeah, she's being cooperative. We're not cold-hearted bastards here. We're not going to interview children the night they possibly witness their mama being killed. We're going to wait. We have to rely on professionals and expert counselors to sit down with them. I'm here to assure the family and the friends that my office is going to do everything to bring justice.
Now, the only problem, Sheriff, is that you're sheriff in a county, in a state, that has stand your ground. And it wasn't that long ago that a little teenage black boy was blown away by a stand-your-ground citizen by the name of George Zimmerman for what was apparently the capital offense of carrying a can of Arizona iced tea and a package of Skittles. It was just kids playing out in the sun. When the white lady came out, threw the skates at the kid, and then snatched up an iPad and went back inside.
As she confronted her,
we're back to Sheriff Woods again, who's full of sympathy, you know, for the white lady.
She confronted her, and according to one side, there was a lot of regret.
Well, you know, it's going to be according to one side because only one side is still alive.
There was a lot of aggressiveness from both of them back and forth, whether it be banging on the doors, banging on the walls, and threats being made. And then at that moment is when Mrs. Owens was shot through the door.
There's that passive voice that just bedevils us. Was shot. I don't think there's any question as to who did the shooting. The question is whether Florida's fucked up stand your ground law will allow her to get away with it. No, no. Give up the passive voice, Sheriff Billy. That's when she shot Mrs. Owens.
And after we're done with our investigation, we'll present everything to the Marion County State Attorney's Office. And they'll decide if charges are warranted.
Well, in a civilized country, but again, why do I continue? In a civilized country, charges would be warranted. Because there's nothing in the story about Mrs. Owens looking like Rambo with bandoliers across her chest, toting an AR-15 and saying, fill your hands, you son of a bitch. Not there. And again, the killer, the ground stander, has neither been arrested nor charged. And I would not bet money that she will be. Flavio says, monkey up to Clantis. The dog caught the car indeed. Is he that stupid that he doesn't know the first language of Florida is Spanish? I mean, word gets around. I'm reading reports in the Miami Herald and other Florida papers about the veritable exodus of migrants from Florida. Well, you don't want them there. Now it's time to put the nice white people to work in the fields where they don't want to. Oh, wait, they'll find another group to put to work in the fields. It's not like there isn't a history of that down there. Ralph says, I believe Rick Roth is a farmer that would really like to employ immigrants. Maybe. You beat me to it, says Jeremy in Vermont. Only one person lived, the shooter. So there is one fucking side and one only. But Sheriff, I was standing my ground. I mean, she was all terrifying and black and stuff. You know how those people are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Have a blessed day.
Jeremy asked, but would you bet she won't be charged? Yeah, I'd put a fin on that. It just gets worse. It was kind of a shitty day for Monkey Up today and Flora Dust Ann. Told you I'd get grief about the Android. Micah says, and here I am with an Apple phone I can't freaking hardly use for work. I can't figure out because it's not intuitive for anything. Micah, that's the thing. You don't have to think about it. You just go do it. I love my Android. Controls make sense, and I don't really have to screw with it. Well, maybe, I don't know. That's the one thing they don't make to me is sense. It seems like I have to be interrogated over every last little thing I want to do. But as far as Florida is concerned, and remember, she lived there. Sure as shit, I'm not going to Florida. No, duh. No doubt about it. Neither am I, for what it's worth. But like I said, it was a shitty day for Ron Monkey up to Clantis in Florida. And what do I mean by that? Well, today in Florida, a court of competent jurisdiction entered a temporary preliminary injunction against one of Monkey Up's most cherished bills, a bill that has occasioned much bleating and grunting and groaning. Namely, the bill that bans gender-affirming care. And it's got some really choice words in it. Kind of stern, if you get right down to it. It was a federal judge in Florida who entered the preliminary injunction. And remember, a federal judge will only grant a preliminary injunction against a piece of legislation if the judge thinks that the plaintiffs have a substantial likelihood of prevailing at trial. Four families sued over the law, and so U.S. District Judge Robert Hinkle, let's look up Judge Hinkle. Because we'll kind of want to know what kind of man he is. Robert Hinkle is a senior United States District Judge of the United States District Court for the Northern District of Florida. That's probably Tallahassee. Well, that explains everything, doesn't it? He's a Clinton appointee who took senior status. He's 71 years old. He's from Apalachicola, Florida. He has taken, he has made other decisions that have inflamed and infuriated the gang of thugs and bigots that comprise the entirety of the Republican Party. In 2014, he ruled in Brenner v. Scott that Florida's statutory and constitutional bans on same-sex marriage were federally unconstitutional. He preliminarily enjoined Senate Bill 7072 a couple of years ago. That's the one that fined and put other penalties on social media platforms that blocked or inhibited content from political candidates and media organizations. And so today, he dropped a rock on Monkey Up and his pet legislature. Among other things, he found with the plaintiffs who said that the law will cause irreparable harm to trans young people. And then he got serious. And this isn't a shot across the bow. This is right direct to midships. He said, the elephant in the room should be noted at the outset. Gender identity is real. And he went on to say that gender-affirming care is, in fact, medically necessary. Any proponent of the challenged statute and rules should, listen to this, put up or shut up. Dog whistles ought not be tolerated. Asking, do you acknowledge that there are individuals with actual gender identities opposite their natal sex, or do you not? Dog whistles ought not be tolerated. And so he preliminarily enjoined the law. And so trans kids are temporarily a little bit safe in Florida, or at least safer. And hopefully, we will hear other language from other judges in places like Alabama and Tennessee, in places like Idaho and Arkansas and Missouri. Although what may wind up happening is there will be a split of opinion. This is only a preliminary injunction. That means it will have to be tried But the thing is, he told them to put up or shut up. And the essential problem here is that none of the proponents of these godforsaken bills can put up, but they yet refuse to shut up. And I'm sure somewhere in the midst of all of this right-wing bigoted filth, you don't have to dig very far to find the Alliance Defaming Freedom, that legalistic legislative chop shop that defends this kind of ugliness on a daily basis, as well as website designers in Colorado who have never been asked to design a website for a gay couple, a gay couple's wedding, but is afraid to go into business for fear that she might be. She wouldn't have to, but didn't want to deal with one of those icky gays. So good on you, Judge Henkel. And a long and happy life to you. And do please enjoy the trial. Because the plaintiffs will come forward with, oh, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Psychiatric Association, the American Association of Social Workers. You know, everybody who actually has some expertise. And the state of Florida will counter with some preacher
who will say, but it's again the Bible. It's again God's will. Male and female, he created them, created he them that way.
And I think the trial, whenever it comes along, because it doesn't say here when that will be, should be interesting. And it wasn't just it didn't just say put up or shut up, because, of course, Republicans like to count pages of things. It's a 44-page ruling. And he anticipated what will come off at trial. Noted that the only defense expert who treated a significant number of transgender patients said, and quote from the opinion, at least one defense expert also has admitted it, that gender identity exists. And even though the idiots are out there shrieking and barking and grunting and hooting about how it's an experimental treatment, it isn't. It's a good way to keep trans kids alive and let them grow up to be trans adults. Oh, they're only doing it for the money. It's a big dollar. No, it isn't. And Judge Henkel said there's no reason to believe that physicians are motivated by anything other than the safe and effective treatment of their patients. Then he really stuck it in and broke it off, because the bigots, the transphobes, the Christians all said, we're trying to protect the children. You know, just like they're trying to protect the little fetuses. Judge Henkel said, the plaintiff parents' motivation stems from love for their children and the desire to achieve the best possible treatment for them. That, he continued, is not the state's motivation. Meanwhile, the aforementioned Jeremy T. Redfern said,
we obviously disagree with the judge's ruling. We will continue fighting against the rogue elements in the medical establishment
That's the entire medical establishment. The rogue elements are the ones out there saying, oh, no, you can keep giving the puberty blockers to the cis kids. It's just the trans kids we want dead.
We will continue fighting against the rogue elements in the medical establishment that push ideology over evidence and protect against mutilating our kids.
See, they're still yelling that shit, even though there are no kids having gender-affirming surgeries. Zero. It's kind of like the teeny tiny handful of trans kids trying to play sports. The maggots, because they're desperate for something to bark and grunt about and get Emery and Marveline all worked up about in their matching barca loungers at the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Park and Country Club all riled up over. In the hopes that somehow or another they can manage to, by God, get them to the polls. Yet we know that when he doesn't get his way, Nitwit Nero flings ketchup at the walls. I'm guessing for Monkey Up, it's mayonnaise. I could be wrong. Lee, I have an Android phone, Moto G 250, and I use T-Mobile. Curious, when was the last time you had to climb the phone pole to answer the stress line like Mr. Douglas had to on Green Acres? It's been a while, although for the last couple of weeks, it just getting it to even go into the board whether I'm on top of the pole or not. She's outstanding in her field. We don't know why. She's just outstanding in her field. Oh, it was a problem. So, I've done that thing again. I took a call on the stress line rather a long time ago during the midst of the smack dab in the middle of the filler obster. And it would be nice to find out if there's somebody still on the line. By the way, there's a $25 challenge to get us down from 1380 to 1330. In the hole that we're in because we were left with a monumental hole from May. If someone would match that $25 that Ralphs is putting out there, and she is so kind to put these challenges out there, it would really help a lot. It would really, really help a lot. So thank you in advance, and anybody else that wants to help get us down out of a four-figure hole, well, that would be great too. Four-figure hole, 6 days into a month. Not encouraging. All right, let's find out. Hey, who've we got?
Robin, let me put the legal aspects out of the way first.
Hey, Dave.
Dave and the Blind is on the air. Stay away from your midday snack, Bill.
Or, you could just try not to ruin the snack. I know.
Well,
that's a tall hill.
That would be going against my nature.
That's a big hill to climb.
You're asking the water not to be wet.
It's true.
You're asking the water not to be wet. So, as I understand, Monkey Up DeClanis and his pet legislature are advancing a bill now to protect Floridians from the water being wet. Which is kind of a big job around Florida.
They got to, Dave, because it's woke water. It's woke water, and we know it's woke because it's salty. All that wokeism is so salty.
Well, and they're trying to protect the fountain of youth, Robin. After all, when I was a kid, that's all you heard about down there in the tourist traps. We have the fountain of youth. It was always this little bubbling hot spring that was next to nothing. But that is not the reason for my call. Now, I have a couple of, and well, it's kind of a quasi-religious, quasi-legal question. And you mentioned this document earlier. Of course, I'm referring to the will of God. Now, as I understand it, wills are supposed to be directives from a deceased person on how they want their affairs dealt with.
Oh, you know, I was going to try to save this story till tomorrow, but I know where I'm going. Go right ahead.
Okay. And now, here's the problem, Robin. In order to know the will of God, your good God-fearing Bible bumpers would have to admit that God is dead. And, of course, who are the heirs of God? I don't see Jesus stepping forward with a Aramaic copy of
well, but see, that's the problem. Now you've moved into philosophy. And I guess we're going to have to haul out the musty old bones of Soren Kierkegaard and understand that, you know, thou art God. Oh, I can hear people moving over to other programs even as I speak.
Well, here's the problem, Robin. These right-wing douchebags, and I believe that is the proper legal term, these right-wing douchebags are always going on about the will of God. It's God's will. Well, you know, now I understand sometimes it can take years for a will to go through probate. Now, do we have to wait 7,000 years before we declare him dead, or can we fast-track that?
Well, I don't know. There's another way of going about it. We could plead abandonment, and that doesn't take quite as long. And all you need is say, the plague of the 14th century, COVID, and you know, the abandonment of God is almost self-proving. You could even argue that the Bible itself is a self-proving affidavit of the aforementioned abandonment.
Well, but then again, so is Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I'm sure the Potterites out there are hopping mad at me right now for pointing that out, but there it is. They're using a book to prove the existence of a book. But speaking of books, now, I know you have complained many times about the Santa Clausing of Dr. Martin Luther King.
True.
And there is a book out there that I believe anybody in the horn who wants to learn more about the actual Dr. King should get. It is a collection of articles, sermons, and speeches that Dr. King produced before his murder. And it is edited by Dr. Cornel West, who introduces each section. And then you have some very fine actors and actresses reading those articles, speeches, and sermons. Wanda Sykes is among them, LeVar Burton.
Interesting you would mention Dr. West. He has announced his candidacy on the People's Party ticket as a third-party alternative to Joe Biden and whatever godforsaken misanthropic nightmare winds up being a Republican nominee.
Yeah, I do. And as much as I respect Dr. West,
I don't see
him winning the White House.
Well, I just wish he hadn't.
Well, there's always going to be one. I mean, for quite some time, Robin, we will recall that liberals who wanted to hold their nose about Al Gore voted for he turned out to be a right-wing piece of shit.
Ralph Nader.
Yeah, Nader. And we have other clowns who've done similar damage on the other side. However, you notice how the complexion of the Republican run for the presidency is shaping up to be exactly what it was the last go-round. I mean, they've got Senator Token Scott, they've got Nimrata, and she's the fly in the ointment, being a woman and all.
Yes.
The, you know, Nimrata just needs to shut up and deal with the problems of Bonomo. You know, that seems to be her wheelhouse.
Do what you're good at.
But I just thought that perhaps, you know, the next time these idiots talk about the will of God, I'm going to demand to see the document.
Yeah, and you want an official copy with the seal on it. You don't want no damn.
Yes, yes.
No Xerox job.
No, I could go down to the courthouse and ask to see the actual document. But the only courthouse that might exist that might have it is a small town in Israel where they do still speak Aramaic. Assuming, of course, Jesus wants to push his claim to the inheritance.
I'm sorry, you can't do that by a third-party intermediary. You must be present to win.
Well, then he better come back, damn it. He's been lollygagging for too many centuries.
Y'all come back now, you hear? Well, I told you that you gave me an idea for where I want to go.
Okay.
Because you're going to love this one, especially given its place of origin. And I know.
Oh, don't tell me. Let me guess. No, my beloved Talibandiana.
No, it is not your beloved Talibandiana. Not at all. No, this comes from behind the Zion curtain. Our friends in Utah, Stan, have been probably giggling merrily for several days now. Because, well, again, this is one of those matters of the dog catching the car. For a couple of years now, there has been a full-on effort, call it a book banning spasm, that has been used as a means of motivating the maggot base. They're going to read about the queer people. They can't read about the queer people. That's terrible. Right? It went so far, what, a year ago was it, that the Moms for Liberty, whoop, were objecting to a book about seahorses for 4- and 5-year-olds.
Okay? Oh, yes, I remember.
And they weren't even real pictures of seahorses, but they talked about the fact that the male seahorse carries the seahorse young. Children don't need to be learning about the gender ideology in kindergarten. Remember? That's dirty.
Yes, I remember that.
That's dirty. Well, there have been book banning frenzies. Remember, Escambia County, Florida, removed The Hills We Climb by the young woman who delivered that selfsame poem at Joe Biden's inauguration.
And it's a beautiful poem.
It is a
beautiful
poem. I ran the audio right here on this here program. Amanda Gorman.
Let me guess, somebody finally had the gumption in Utah to ask that the Book of Mormon be banned?
No, it's better than that.
better than that.
Yeah, these bills all allow books to be banned on the complaint of one parent. Because, what's his name? The governor of Virginia. Oh, Glenn Youngkin, the hedge fund CEO asshole, who ran on the concept of parental choice, which Monkey Up DeKlantis promptly bogarted. And it was all a subterfuge for raking in money from hate groups, LGBTQ hate groups. And he got that ball rolling. So now, well, we found out that Amanda Gorman's poem was banned based on the word of one woman, Daily Salinas, who happens to pal around with terrorists, as the saying used to go.
And is fairly illiterate. She's never actually read the poem.
Right, and she thought it was written by Oprah Winfrey.
And as I recall, the application was a little,
sketchy.
Second grade-ish in its spelling.
But, you know, she couldn't tell the difference between a young college student, Amanda Gorman, and Oprah Winfrey, because, of course, they all look alike to her. So, back to Utah. A parent has complained. And now a book has been removed from Utah schools in a school district because it contains vulgarity or violence based upon a law passed in 2022, you know, the book banning spasm, by the good God-fearing, upstanding, et cetera, Utah legislature.
Mm-hmm.
That piece of legislation bans books that are deemed pornographic or indecent.
Oh, please tell me it's the King James Bible.
So a parent in Utah wrote to the Davis School District demanding that the Bible should be taken off shelves based on the new law.
That story of law.
She ain't no Daily Salinas. She knows her Bible because she wrote incest, onanism, bestiality, prostitution, genital mutilation, fellatio, dildos, rape, and even infanticide. Get this porn out of our schools. Hold on. If the books that have been banned so far are any indication for way lesser offenses, the Bible should be a slam dunk. And it was. And that school district has now banned the Bible.
Oh, my God.
So there's a committee, the school district appointed a committee to review the complaint. And they said, well, it can stay on high school shelves, but it needs to be taken out of younger grades.
No.
But that's kind of a weak need. I don't know.
I think.
Do high schoolers need to read about a couple of teenage girls who get their daddy all liquored up because they think they're never going to find a boyfriend because Almighty God done destroyed all the potential husbands out there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and so they get him liquored up and fuck him? Sister one fucks him one night, and the next night, sister two has, hey, daddy, you want some more wine?
Yeah.
And fucks him, and they both get pregnant and have incest babies, and Lot was a righteous man. God, I love that story.
Yeah.
Not because I'm into it. That's not my kink at all. But it's the
right.
The and Lot was a righteous man part that is the comedy gold.
Well, you know, his wife is a pillar of the community.
Cowbell. I have to yell cowbell until we get it, until I find the cowbell.
I know. She's a real soul to the ears.
Ah! Poor ding, thing. Ding! Cowbell, cowbell!
I always try to bring my A game, Robin.
I know you do. But isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful. Now we, on the same token, and if you want to see the Utah legislature get all up in arms, have her file one on the Book of Mormon. Several passages about multiple wives. Yeah,
that's going to get the Quran too. But I'm sure that's already been banned in a good Christian place.
Well,
like
I'm sure that is, I find it interesting that the school board would suddenly go, well, it's only for the younger children. And I'd be like, oh, no. I'm asking that it be removed in all of them so that my children don't have to be exposed to it. Thank you very kindly.
Because, see, now that we're banning it, it's going to make it popular and people are going to go and want to read the dirty parts. So I don't want any risk at all that there's going to be little Christian children with their hands down their pants back in the corner of the library reading a dirty book, you know, the Bible.
Well, and this could increase literacy overall, Robin. After all, the unabridged English, Oxford English Dictionary, if we want to get absolutely technical about the specifics of the law, should probably be the first book banned.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else. I thought you were going to point out that it will expand literacy because the production of a Bible in English raised literacy rates during the Protestant Reformation among the English, and a Bible in Dutch did the same in the Netherlands.
In Europe. John Wycliffe.
Thank you.
A Catholic priest.
And then in England there were the Lollards. And it turns out some of my ancestors were, Lollards.
Imagine that.
I know. But then again, Annette's multi-great-great-great-great-multi-great-granddaddy got bounced out of the Quaker meeting there in Philadelphia for questioning the divinity of Jesus. I even saw the meeting house back in 2019.
Is the meeting house still in existence?
Oh, heavens, yes. It was right across the street from my hotel, just a block away from Ben Franklin's grave.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And it's been in continuous use since way back then.
That's amazing.
And by the way, Darlene in Connecticut says, damn, Dave's on a roll. And I agree. That was two high-quality puns.
Well, I try my best. Now, I have some news.
And
maybe the One Family Community Congregation can pipe in here. Christine often goes out with a older woman, a friend of hers, who always takes the opposite view that Christine takes.
That must be
Christine
fine.
Used to be, well, yeah, it's hilarious fun. But yesterday night, she asked Christine how to get somewhere because Christine used to deliver pizzas all over the city. Christine told her the best way to go there. Well, I don't think you're right. I'll do it my way. And it took far longer.
And Christine literally said, okay, get lost.
No, Christine said, no, you don't want to listen to me, so fuck, I'm going to stay quiet. And she proceeded to do so. And she told me she was almost in tears this morning. She said, I hated it. The food was bad. The service was worse. And I just did not have a good time at all. I said, well, honey, maybe you need to step back a few days, maybe a week, and just, you know, stay home and relax and play with the cats. And so that's what she's doing. She's got her recliner that has the optional heat massage, and it's got a lift in it so that as she gets older, if she needs a little assistance getting out of the recliner, it will get her to a standing position. And because I told her, I said, that's going to be helpful for you when as you get older. I had a wheelchair chair and I loved it. Didn't have the optional heat massage, but Christine treated herself. Those things are like the Cadillac of recliners. It'll set you back about $2,000 to get one. I know on the Horn budget, that's not going to be the studio chair choice. Christine talked to a lawyer from Legal Aid today about her landlord-tenant dispute. He's going to send her a list of attorneys that can help her, and he thinks that she has a case for misappropriation of funds against the landlord because Christine has been paying ahead on her rent and lot rent, and her trailer rent and her lot rent. And they told her last month that she was $600 behind and that they threatened to evict her. And Christine said, oh, hell no. Well, when she got there with the $600, they claimed that they never said they were going to evict her. And this is pissing Christine off to no end. So she's gathering her evidence. And she's not afraid to use lawyers, Robin. Like I said, she's willing to go to legal clinics or whatever and help train young lawyers, you know, in case law and all kinds of things. I'm probably going to advise her to maybe approach Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis Law School about running their students through some drills just to see if they're on their toes. Her bankruptcy attorney teaches an intro to bankruptcy law there, so why not? But that skin is, Christine's doing well otherwise. She just had her teeth cleaned. And the VA is constantly a problem for her. But they actually did pick her up this time. So she's not having to yell, holler, and scream at them. I'm doing well in that my comedy student, known as my therapist, called me this morning. We talked for about an hour. Wait till he gets my bill, Robin. I mean, I've told him I've given him enough time. Well, I told him, I said, you know, I've been letting you slide on these payments, but my accountant is getting all over me as a division of Crazy Days, you know. My accountant's like, Dave, you can't do this. You just can't do this. How are we supposed to run a holding company if you're letting these bills slide? So, of course, I told him that I'd talk to the accountant, and then I'd talk to the lady that runs his office. And we'd work some kind of a payment schedule out for him. So, he's just above the knock-knock joke level. I've been working with this man for, well, since 2011.
Hey, Dave, knock-knock.
And he's just not... who's that? I know it's you, Robin.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting cow?
No!
Robin?
That, you didn't catch it.
Robin Gunner.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
But there is a story out a few days ago that happened to me that's kind of interesting. A young boy and his father were getting out of their car in the car next to the one I was in. I had the door open because it was 90 degrees outside. My friend was getting an electric cart from the Walmart for me so we could do my grocery shopping. And the young man asked me what my name was. And I said, it's David. What's yours? He said, my name's Kyle. And then he started to chatter on. And his dad looked at me and says, yeah, he's our social greeter. I said, don't worry about it. I said, let me guess, Kyle, you're 6 or 7. He's 6, I was told. And he proceeded to tell me, Robin, and I did not know this. You might need to check with the felines in your house for verification, but he told me that if I had a baby, I could use it to apologize to a dog if I stepped on its tail. And I said, well, Kyle, did you learn that in school? He goes, no, I saw it on TikTok. And I'm thinking,
which is kind of school,
oh,
now.
Oh, God. Yeah, he goes, I'm on summer vacation now. I didn't learn this in school. So I'm like, okay. Oh, but it was adorable. I remember what I was like at that age, and I was just like that. So it kind of, I told Christine about it, and she's like, aw. And my cousin, my cousin's son and his wife gave birth to a baby boy in April. And he's growing like a weed. Wiley is growing. It's amazing how big this kid gets. And... yeah, things are going pretty good in my family.
Good.
I haven't heard from my brother since my birthday, which is always good. But I also haven't heard from either of my sisters since then. So I'm going to have to break down and write text messages and use Facebook Messenger to get a hold of me. Because Christine keeps forgetting to tell them, hey, call Dave, he's lost your number and phone. So, there it is. Anyway, I'll let you go, Robin, so you can get on with the program and somebody else can jump in.
All right, Dave, it's good to hear from you. And hey, did you notice something? No breakups. No fall aparts.
You're using an actual cell phone company now.
Yeah.
Verizon. There's a reason Verizon kept saying, can you hear me now? Because nobody could hear them.
Well, and you know what? Just for the technical off in the weeds portion of the program. Yesterday in Fayetteville, on my phone, I used the speed test app. The download speed that I got from Verizon was I was in Oak Hill. I apologize. I got, my download speed was 0.09, and my upload speed, you know, you don't often see uploads that are a near match for the download speed, but in this case, the upload speed was 0.06. That, my friend, okay. is worse than dial-up. 0.09 down, 0.06 up.
Six. Oh, what is it now?
Let me see if it'll run on this here phone. Because I'm not even, let me see. I'm not even tied into the, into our Wi-Fi here, because I just wanted to make sure that everything worked. So, let's see.
Yeah, your phone is using its
so I'm actually,
data
I'm actually,
bouncing
I'm
off at, the tower.
I'm actually on T-Mobile's tower. And let's find out, as the wise old owl in the Tootsie Pop commercial once said. It ain't great, but then again, we're on this phone, so I'm not going to get top speeds. But still.
If you have problems in a few days about your speed, let me know, and I may have a workaround for you.
Well, I'll be into the Wi-Fi. I'll be into the Wi-Fi by then. This was just a quickie. So I'm getting 3.5 down and 3.1 up. It's not great, but
yeah. But your bandwidth use over the month, I have unlimited bandwidth that doesn't get decelerated. But I'm also
I do too.
Okay.
And I haven't
good.
Had
I was going
had,
to say
I haven't had this long enough to really be doing anything, and this is just a phone call after all. So
right.
So it's not great, but that's probably because I'm using the phone and trying to use the internet at the same time, and that often creates issues.
Well, let me give you some feedback on. Let me give you some feedback on the call itself.
Sure.
When I called in, it only dropped out. The audio only dropped out like three times for maybe 10 seconds at the most. Which is a far better situation than you had before on the stats line. So it is a massive improvement.
Oh, yeah, well, it is a massive improvement because I can actually make or receive a call without using Wi-Fi assist. Which
and
I could
that
not
will
do
save
before.
You a bundle.
I mean, this phone, I've got four bars on this phone, whereas on Verizon phones, I get one. One.
All right. Well, so, Robin, I'm going to let you go.
All right. Dave, you have a good evening. Give Christine our best, please.
I will. But take care of yourselves.
I'm gone.
Bilbo, you can now resume eating.
Is it safe? Bye. It's safe. See you, Dave. My buddy Dave and the Blind out in Taliban, Indiana, and as promised, I'm a little late to the game, but I need to go check on Kyle. So hopefully you'll, that's exactly what I usually in New York speed test. There's an app. So that's what I, yeah. So we're going to check in with the Green News Report, and we are goose egging so far. There's $25 on the table courtesy of Ralph's, and at you know, $13.80, a goose egg really stings. Yeah, I am. I'm using the speedtest.net app. That's what I've always used. So I'm going to go check on Kyle. Hopefully, maybe 6 minutes from now, we will no longer be a goose egg, and we'll be down to $13.30 because somebody answered Ralph's $25 challenge. Fingers crossed. Let's see what those wacky kids, Brad and Desi, have for us this evening.
It's Tuesday, June 6, 2023.
While we were out,
the 60-vote threshold having been achieved, the bill is passed.
Biden's debt ceiling deal averts economic crisis while Joe Manchin gets his pipeline payoff.
If you're looking for a homeowner's policy, you'll have to really shop around. And if you live in a fire-prone area, good luck.
Major insurer ditches California over wildfire risk. Plus,
the court's decision will jeopardize the sources of clean drinking water for farmers, businesses, and millions of Americans.
Supreme Court wetlands ruling is a major victory for polluters and developers.
And polluting developers. All of those dirty stories and more straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
I propose creating a position in the U.S. Department of Energy for the sole purpose of fighting the war on gas stoves. This amendment would create this position in the department, the Supreme Allied Gas Commander.
And I know just the person for the job. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, that Florida Democrat, Congressman Jared Moskowitz, is raising hell about the right wing and their pretend war on gas stoves.
Yes, he is great for trolling Republicans.
Yes, he is. What do you got for us today?
Well, while we were out, President Biden signed bipartisan legislation to suspend the nation's debt ceiling, ending congressional Republicans' attempts to extort deep budget cuts, or else they'd push the nation into default, triggering global economic crisis. Biden's deal blocked Republicans, but at a cost. For the environment, the agreement limits environmental reviews for new energy projects under the National Environmental Policy Act, which will speed up approvals of both new clean energy and new fossil fuel projects. The deal has no permitting reform for new transmission lines, a critical bottleneck to decarbonizing the nation's electric grid. And it includes a pipeline payoff for conservative Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, fast-tracking approval of his pet project, the fracked gas Mountain Valley Pipeline through West Virginia. That's in exchange for Manchin casting the deciding vote last year on Biden's historic climate law, the Inflation Reduction Act. In an Oval Office address, Biden cast the trade-offs as critical to protecting the law's massive investments.
You know, we also protected the most significant breakthrough ever in dealing with the existential threat of climate change. Some of my Republican colleagues are determined to gut the clean energy investments. I said, no, we kept them all.
They kept them all, $400 billion worth, and it should be noted that all of these concessions that Biden made, he would have had to make plus more later this year on the budget deal. So, as you know, I think it's a win-win-win for Biden.
Also, while we were out, the right-wing majority on the U.S. Supreme Court stripped federal pollution protections from the nation's wetlands, jeopardizing access to safe drinking water for millions of Americans. The majority ignored the plain text of the Clean Water Act and instead invented a new test, declaring only wetlands with a continuous surface connection to larger bodies of water are eligible.
Just like they made up a new rule to knock the EPA out of monitoring carbon pollution about a year ago.
Yep. And this new ruling renders roughly half of the nation's wetlands unprotected and means that more wetlands and seasonal streams will be filled in with dirt for development, destroying the ecosystem services and benefits they provide.
Well, what are you going
to
do?
The Biden Environmental Protection Agency will now have to revamp new rules for Clean Water Act protections already in the works, and Congress could protect wetlands through legislation. But that's unlikely while Republicans hold power.
Or we could reform the Supreme Court and get rid of the corrupted right-wing majority.
In other news, the state of Arizona, facing water shortages amid historic mega drought, announced it will limit new housing construction in the greater Phoenix area. That after a new analysis of state water resources predicted severe groundwater shortages in coming decades. The new limits don't affect existing homeowners or new developments that have already been approved under the state's strict water laws, but new housing developments will be required to find alternate water sources.
Good luck.
Finally, the U.S. insurance industry is pulling back from areas of high risk exposure. First, it was in Florida over costly hurricanes. Now, State Farm, the largest insurer in California, said it will halt sales of new homeowner insurance policies in the state, citing increasing wildfire exposure risk and inflation that has increased the cost of reconstruction. Wildfires are increasing in frequency and intensity due to the climate crisis, and California has experienced record wildfires $1 billion over the past 6 years. Sean Kevlin, CEO of the Insurance Information Institute on CNBC, said the U.S. needs to better manage its risks.
We need to think about resilience. We need to think about risk mitigation. Insurance is a risk transfer tool, but it can only go so far if we're not managing the risk.
And it's important to note that there are no climate science deniers in the insurance industry.
Unlike a good neighbor, State Farm won't be there.
Mm-hmm.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
I have absolutely got to learn to resist the urge to do my bad Johnny Cash impression, because I can get down there. I have no business being down there anymore. Right? Right. Sometimes at karaoke at Maggie's, one of my girlfriends and I will do Jackson by Johnny Cash, and I always wind up singing the Johnny Cash part. That's a little dysphoric. By the way, we've got a little more challenge help. If somebody will meet Ralph's $25, another $50 will result in $100 from our kind internet friend who prefers their anonymity. It'll be a 2-for-1 tripling challenge. So there's a chance in the remaining 40 minutes or so of the program to knocked down by $200 our $1,380 fundraising hole that presently stands at goose egg. That said, let's go back over to the stress line, which appears to work. Yay. And see who's there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Howdy, Robin. How you doing?
Scary Jerry, what's up?
Oh, all kinds of shit. What's this about this $2,000 thing? I leave, you were up by $100. I get back, you're down at $2,000. What the hell, Horn? What the hell?
Well, I mean, we finished May in like a $1,500 hole.
And once again, come on, Horn.
Claw back, you know.
I've had so many adventures. I'm glad I got on. Dave of the Blind was hysterical. I didn't even want to call. I just wanted to hear more Dave of the Blind. And
Dave really does bring his A game.
He did today. In fact, he could have been a spokesman for a reclining chair with the fist. I would have bought it. I was like, all right, you know.
Cowbell.
I was like, sometimes I need a little help too. Let me call you back. I'm about to jump on a bus if it doesn't leave me.
Okay. Well, I hope the bus doesn't leave Scary Jerry. So, I do have, you know, it's Titanic Tuesday. I do have a fun little story. A certain segment of the Horn Family Community Congregation will probably find this hysterical. Saturday was a very long and frightening day. I guess there's no other way to say this, and I hope she won't mind me saying it. Annette has Lyme disease. That's not the hilarious part. So Saturday was spent. I left here. I went over to my daughter's house to pick up Annette, and it was then that she said, no, look, and yeah, classic bullseye pattern. Terrifying. And it's driving her to distraction trying to figure out where in God's name she got it. I mean, outside, deer ticks, Lyme disease. And so now we're all super careful about, you know, making sure that we don't have any little creatures on us. But she's got it. And so I took her to urgent care. And back when those things first started opening up in the 80s, they were referred to usually as either, and this was the gentler term, doc in a box, or the more ubiquitous quack in a shack. Well, fortunately, they were able to diagnose Lyme disease right away, and they called a prescription in for her. Apparently, the drug of choice for Lyme disease is a whopping dose of doxycycline. And after all was said and done, I said, look, I know you're miserable, but let's go get a bite. And she wasn't particularly hungry, but she said, yeah, I need to eat. And she does. And so we went to Fayetteville's one little Asian fusion place. They do a good job. I mean, credible sushi in West Virginia is not impossible. And so she ordered her favorite. Me, I just love their avocado salad. It's like, you know, $5. And I bury it in salt and that wonderful ginger dressing. But anyway, after a little bit, she excused herself to go back to the ladies' room. And you'd have to understand the layout, but I was sitting on a booth seat table and then a chair opposite, and it was at the front of the restaurant, so I was looking at the rest of the restaurant. And I had been planning on going to Pride in Charleston Saturday, but this certainly took precedence. And so as Annette's coming walking through the center of the restaurant back to our table, and I should say I got there first because she did a quick run through of the Dollar Tree next door, where she about got into it with a guy who was being an asshole to the staff. But I'd already ordered for her. I knew what she wanted. And anyway, she was coming, and so she had her Dollar Tree bags there, and she was coming back toward me, and this middle-aged couple was coming, and you'd have to know what, I mean, you know what, because I've told you too much, so much about it. So this middle-aged couple is coming up the center of the restaurant toward me, and I'm sitting there wearing a red dress, but doing my best, felt pretty. And the woman is just staring at me, and I'm like, oh, fuck, no. No, just no, I'm not up to it tonight. And so Annette draws even and sees the woman staring at me, and sits back down. They go through. Annette looks at me, says, give me the keys. I'm going to take my bags to the car. And I'm like, well, I mean, just sit here and finish. I'll pay the bill. No, give me the keys. And so when I get the second, give me the keys. So I hand her the fob. She takes her Dollar Tree bags and follows the couple out. And around the corner, I hear her talking to, I presume, the woman who was staring at me. And all I hear is the other woman's voice go, really? And I thought nothing more of it. It's like, well, at least there wasn't a confrontation. I pay the bill, go sashaying out. I get in the car, and Annette is sitting there grinning like the Cheshire Cat. I said, okay, what? And the couple, the middle-aged couple, is heading on toward their car, and the woman is just chattering away at her husband. And the one phrase I had heard was, I told you. And so I get in the car and I look at Annette and I said, okay, what was that? And she said, well, if there was going to be any shit go down, I wanted to be there. And so when we got outside, the woman looks at, Annette says, the woman looks at me and says, is she in the movies or something? I've seen her somewhere. I know her face. And Annette, because she is Annette, said, well, yes, but please, she deserves her privacy. This is a tourist town. And she said, oh, absolutely. And that's when I heard that, I told you. And so Annette tells me all this, and she's struggling not to fall completely apart, laughing, and I start giggling. And it turned into just a magically hilarious, not magically delicious, they're magically delicious. No, it was magically hilarious. And when we both settled down, I looked at her and I said, you know what, this is the perfect counterpoint to them's fake boobs. And she said, I know, right? Then she looked at me and said, that's two times now you've assumed you were being clocked when it was nothing like it whatsoever. So it was delightful. And there I was halfway freaked out going like, you know, no, I can't. I'll just go back to the house and just never leave the house again. Because it does that to you when people are shitty to you. And you're like me. And I like to think I know who she thought I looked like, but I'm not going to say that. But it was just a delightful little moment. Those little gifts from the universe. Those little air kisses. And it absolutely made the evening. So I did all this because I was waiting for Scary Jerry to call back in, and he has. I presume. Let's find out. Is that you, Scary Jerry?
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hey, I've been here. I never disconnected. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
Did you get your bus?
How do I sound? Oh, yeah. I've been, I had enough time to roll the joint and pull up and hear about the Annette story. Pretty good.
That's pretty Hello? Efficient.
Yeah. No, I just came back from the Keys. I stayed about 2 weeks longer than I expected, and I was down there, believe it or not, with no cell phone and no money, and I was fine. Somebody liberated me of those items in Florida City, which is the last Florida city before you hit Gaios, which is the Keys, Spanish for the Keys. Where do I begin? I hate the Democratic Party and its lack of advertising. That's literally why we lose elections. The Democratic Party spends nothing on marketing or branding. And we allow the Republicans to define. And it's crap. It's absolute fucking crap. The Keys used to be blue, and now it's not, and it's all marketing and talk radio. And I don't know what else to say. I mean, in fact, I'll even go farther than that. The Keys is where people listen to the radio still. And there's this one talk show on. I was thinking, if I won $1 million, I'd start a FM station in the Keys. And I'd rerun you and Malloy and Randy and play music and have callers. And that would be the format. What do you think of that?
Sounds fun.
I mean, there is one local voice. There's still a DJ show down there where they play records, if you can believe that. And, you know, they're right wing down there, but it's a soft right wing. We even made an immigrant joke because they actually caught 12, Cubans. And the funny thing about the Keys is all of the Keys is about 90 miles from Cuba. Most people don't know that.
Yeah, I was assuming it's just Key West.
No, not just Key West, it's Isla Mirada, Marathon, which is the next big key. It's only Key Largo, which is kind of in the turn, kind of a 45-degree angle that's far away. But as soon as it goes straight, it lines up with Cuba because Cuba's parallel. In fact, you could even consider the Keys northern Cuba, literally. And there's a huge immigrant or recently immigrated Cuban population already took over Marathon. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about Spanish down there. In fact, the joke I made, we were talking about Cubans. I go, when they showed up, because one of the people I was, you know, hanging out with there, he met one of them. He goes, the guy said, call Cuba. I was like, that's where you fucked up. Don't call Cuba. Cuba don't want to know this. You should have went, where's the bus stop? Because they have a funny bus stop situation where they have express buses come by all the time. So if you're just sitting there at the bus stop, you're just the worker. You hit the Cuban bus driver, that'll pick him up. He'll say something. The guy will recognize that, and he'll take him all the way home. Or, I said, the guys could have just kept walking to any of the restaurants down there, walked to the back of the kitchen, and somebody would look at him and said, where's your shirt? So put your shirt on. And it's a wrap. That would have been it. Nobody cares down there. That's the 1% of the 1% down there. The real estate has literally gone nuts because now you have billionaires. It's billionaires competing now. It's part of their bug out plan. They just blow up the bridge and nobody gets in, which is one of the reasons I hang out there. So you're going to go to the end of the world, go to those billionaires. So how's the horn doing? What's going on,
Joe? Well, you know, it's like I said, it's been a little bit of a stressful weekend, but it had its high points and its low points. And
being that we're both on the T-Mobile network, this is just like it's just shouting, over the backyard. Tremendous. No dropouts, no blipping, no digitization, nothing. It's awesome. You haven't gone once, huh? I can't hear. Yeah, come on. Do that thing. Okay, hold the phone to the sun. Bend over at the 45-degree angle. Let's feel like there we go. We can hear you. No, I haven't had to do any of that. And that's pretty amazing. My whole, my last 14, 15 days have been pretty fucking amazing. It's been, I did a impromptu. I went through the death of Carolyn and the death of my mom. I finally went through it. It's funny, some people, I'm not saying you, but get those emotions down the road. Sometimes they do it voluntarily. Sometimes they do it with chemicals or drink or whatever, but the emotions always manifest. So part of my quest for mental health is I dealt with all my shit. I had to. Had nothing else to do. Had no cell phone. I had to figure shit out. I had to go to the local library. Which was odd. But the first week I hated it. I literally had withdrawal jitters. But the second week I was like, ah, shit, I'm going to get a phone. I'm not sure how I feel about that anymore. Well, I feel good because if you don't have a cell phone, you drop out of the 21st century.
You're barely on the planet.
And sometimes it's good until you want to call a car or anything. You can find out the time something's coming. I did it, it was very 1980s for me. I'd ask people the time and I'd wait for the bus. And nobody seemed to check. God, that's what I love about the Keys. See that thing where you're, I don't know. The people down there are Republicans in name only. They love the gay people. They make jokes about the U.S. all the time. They've reduced it all to a punchline down there because, they don't care. You know, you're on an island. You're going to have to rely on somebody, even if he's wearing a pink wig, or rely on somebody. You follow what I'm saying? It's different. It's not, they still think Ron DeSantis is doing a good job, and I asked somebody, what did he do? And nobody could tell me. I go, he fucked up Hurricane Ian, though. He goes, well, he can't control the weather. I go, but he never even told him to get the fuck away from the coast. It's a Category 5. You have to know. You know what? That burns my ass right there. Thousands of people died in Hurricane Ian. Never heard about that. Mostly old people, mostly right-wingers, because you didn't want to alarm people. Kind of like the COVID thing. When
I need more people to
the
panic.
Governor, Yeah, pretty much. The governor of Florida is our official pants on fire guy for natural disasters. And that's literally your only fucking job, you know? And he didn't do that. I don't know what the, I'm more worried that his Disney case got shifted to the Don't Say Gay judge. I'm not excited about that.
But he took one right in the face today, though. That was beautiful.
Not really. Sorta. He just got, that was his first speed bump, like, ever. I think the bigger thing.
No, he's been preliminarily enjoined several times.
Well, adults still can't get transparent.
It's just that it takes time for a case to get through the pipeline. But for every time he's had a preliminary injunction entered against him, Jerry, that is a finding by a federal judge that the plaintiffs who object to the stupid laws are likely to prevail at trial.
Was it the plaintiff? Okay, was it a federal judge?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see the picture of Jack Smith today? The video?
No.
Good shit. He does look literally like John Wick's older brother. Moves like him, has the same, you know, air of dissatisfaction and disillusionment. And I'm like, this guy has his ass in his shoes on. He really does. He dead stared at the reporter when he asked him questions. The reporter said, never mind. It's Jack motherfucking Smith. That's all I'm getting from it. He just had a, he was very purposeful, I guess is the best word. But as Trump used to say, straight out of central casting.
Straight out of central casting, definitely, straight out.
No, but he was seen, you know, he was seen in D.C. With two other guys, and the speculation is running wild. But of course, Jim Jacketoff Jordan is having a baby, trying to do his master's bidding to get Merrick Garland or Jack Smith or somebody. To tell him exactly what he's investigating and, you know, and what evidence he has. And Jack Smith is just like, nah, dude, I'm a real lawyer. You're a draw spunky lawyer.
Jack Smith is riding a cloaked Klingon battlecruiser. He really is. He's totally cloaked. Nobody knows what's going on. I love it. The fact that the grand jury came back, what was it, last week, you're like, wow, this thing is chucking along. I mean, he's had the case less than a year, right? Like 9 months?
Yeah.
And he's doing damage. I don't know. I mean, I was thinking today, did Trump literally insult this guy without meeting him? What the hell is wrong with his brain? You don't insult the lawyer. You don't insult the judge. And
it's always worked for him. Bluster and call and you know, try to shit on people and get away with it.
The best, and Jack didn't say anything other than just dead eye. I'll steal your soul, spirit, and a reporter. I've never heard a reporter just wilt like that. This feels personal. Is the best way I can put it. Not knowing anything about it, never seeing him before, you know, just, you know, used to hoovering on media most of my life. It seems very personal, very deliberate, and just immediate, is the best way I can say. I don't know. I don't know. Were the Republicans really going to default, you know, you know, we would have gone to World War if they called it. You realize that, right?
No, this is all part of the long con.
We were ready to default the government because of out-of-control federal spending, and we would have got some of the out-of-control federal spending under control.
And they can say that now because their asses got saved by some slightly more responsible legislators and the Democrats who refused to not do their constitutional job that they swore an oath to do.
But we would have gone to World War, Robin. The whole world situation is too fucking tense right now. If the CCP in China was like, what? Our IOUs would be useless. Fuck. I mean, that's a little advanced geopolitics maybe, but that's exactly what would have happened. The oligarchs too. I mean, the oligarchs have their hand in that too as well.
Yeah, look what's happened in Ukraine. I don't know if you've seen the images of the dam. Yeah.
I haven't. I try not to watch stuff like that on purpose because that empathy thing. As they said, I'm afflicted with.
It's horrifying.
Well, I saw one still, and I was like, you know what? If God did this, I'd be mad at them. The fact that a human did this. I don't know. If Biden said we're rolling 50,000 troops, popping and popping about, along with the carriages, I'd be like, do it. Let's do this shit. Fuck these guys. And I'm allegedly a nonviolent person. Except after Florida City last couple of weeks, yeah, I might buy a gun. I'm just joking. So no man's land down there. Where the digital economy is left. Oh, okay. And, I don't know. It's a scenario where capitalism kind of forgot. Doesn't change how I feel, but I'm trying to understand. So, kind of running in a circle. I don't know. God bless Joe Biden. Who the fuck keeps letting him fall? Seriously?
Yes. They thought the maggots thought that they were going to have Joe Biden over a barrel. And largely because they bought their own bullshit and read their own press that he is somehow mentally incompetent. He is not. And he sent a team of sharp negotiators to the table who proceeded to eat Kevin McCarthy's lunch, take his shirt, drink his milkshake, and steal his lunch money.
Kiss his girl and, Steelers Netflix. They get it. Well, think about this, though. How much turnover has old Joe had in his administration? Not much, huh? Changed over like five people in 2 years? It's time we say it. Joe Biden's a professional politician.
Yeah, he's been doing this for a little while. Yeah.
He's a professional politician, okay? That's what it looks like.
He does not bring squirt guns to gunfights. He does not bring a super soaker to a gunfight.
I think he said something once that was kind of jarbled, and it finally makes sense. Because we'll call it one of the Joeisms. He goes, protect yourself from a tyrannical government. What do you got against an F-16? Seriously, stop. I was like, yeah, you're right, Joe. You kind of said we were a tyrannical government there by inclusion, but your point is well taken. You
agreed.
Remember that?
I do. Agreed.
But, yeah, that's he's a professional politician. That's what it looks like. He doesn't have time to wave a stick in the air. It's shit to do. And accounts to pass. And I'm all here for it. I hate the whole he's giving money from China. I'm like, bro, Trump made $1 billion as president. Did you know that?
Yeah, anytime you hear that, anytime you hear that, the only answer to give is, how many licenses did Ivanka My Daddy Trump Kushner get in China? She got a license to make Ivanka caskets, coffins in China. The Ivanka Get Buried collection.
No, I think it goes deeper than that. I was thinking about my conspiratorial mind was running wild. Because if you remember, Trump always played both sides. There's a side he favors, and I'm pointing at you, Iran. I'm definitely pointing at you. Iran had a hit on a boat off the Italian coastline that had like 14 industrial complex members on it. I was like, wow, that's a lot. One or two of those guys on a boat or something. But 14 of them? That was a meet. And it was a hit. Boat blew up. They all died, whatever, whatever. And it was about, it comes out that they were all working on an attack on Iran. Somehow, they were decloaked, though. And this is at the presidency. What the fuck did he give them? We've been really unlucky in the intelligence business lately.
Oh, by the way, I have to interrupt in a minute just to send thanks to our dear friend, my sister Micah, up in Michigan, who just made sure, let's see, what the message, no goose egg. Come on, folks. Robin needs to pay her bills. So Ralph's challenge has been met. Maybe if we could find 50 more bucks, that would result in 150, courtesy of the challenge from our kind anonymous internet friend. And that would get us from 1380 down to 1180 right now, so that we don't go skyrocketing toward $2,000 tomorrow. Thank you, Micah. Thank you so much. Much appreciated. Because our kind internet anonymous internet friend just said, fundraising or bust. And I get that, and I appreciate it.
I wish I had some money for that. I have so many stories to report, but I don't know. I'm just happy to be in the county of Broward in the Jamaican Park by the stadium, looking at all the towers, walking around the parking lot, smoking my decriminalized cannabis, and talking on the Robin Show. We're here on live. .com. I love this place. I love these people. I thought about y'all once a day. It's more hip hop and country music crowd down there. Nobody wanted to hear a podcast. Although I did get the DJ at the gas station my final day in the Keys, because the Keys is weird like that. Everybody does like five jobs. And I, and this may be a liberal thing. I got to figure out my life and figure out what I wanted to do from this point. Because, I had a script with Carolyn, but I have to admit I've been pretty scriptless since. And it's been hard. But, and I said this to another person down there, it was weird as a man, where you're actually given the opportunity and space to go, what do I do now? What makes me happy? And I got that. And the kicker is, you people over here at the Horn and Head On That Live care about shit like that. This is where we get together. We talk a lot of politics. Sometimes we talk a lot of other shit. Sometimes it turns into a giggle or a full-on therapy session. And with the price of mental health care in America, this is your cheapest option. Robin's a great listener, and there's always somebody in the Horn constellation that has a good answer for you. So, and I'm going to try to scrape up even a dollar today. And if my broke ass can do it, you guys can. Come on. Get off the couch. Get off the bed. Send Robin some pennies.
And we'll get there.
So keep us in the game.
Yeah, you know, you might you might enjoy this. I did an interview on Saturday morning.
Really?
Yeah. A guy came through here who he's a photographer and a fine one. And he is documenting... He is documenting trans lives across America. He left L.A. and was driven across the continent, and he's talked to people in Missouri. I mean, he's talked to people all over the country, but this time he's swinging through Appalachia and the Deep South. And we had I talked rather extensively about the Horn. And about what a magic and special place it is. I don't know if it'll make the final copy, but I did, because you're right. Somebody always has an answer. Somebody always has uplift for people who are struggling. Some pretty serious magic takes place here.
This is such a powerful community. It really is. In fact, I was sharing some stuff with people, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to save this for the Horn, because they're just looking at me like I'm crazy right now. And this is not the Horn. not live action horns, just people. And I don't even get drunk like that. I just, you know, y'all are here and I needed somebody to talk to. And mental health care is really expensive until you threaten police officers, then they really, then they want to do it.
Cowbell. Mental health is really expensive until you threaten a police officer and then they want to do it.
That,
Scary Jerry.
Seriously, you know what? And fuck you, Robert Kennedy Jr., for saying that they're shooting up the place because of fucking antidepressants. Do not open that fucking cave.
Oh, that, no, he is such. I don't know. Maybe we should let Professor Spicoli handle this one. I don't play this a lot anymore, but sometimes it's just necessary, Scary Jerry. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., this goes out to you.
You dick!
Right? Yeah.
Oh, and also, us having a tropical storm on January or June 1st, I was in the Gulf of Mexico when that thing popped up. I was actually on the bayside of I stuck my foot in the Gulf of Mexico, actually, in Alameda. And it was soup down there. It's 5 degrees hotter than it is here. It was the first time I've ever been to the Keys and got nervous. I was like, oh, hurricane development. I'm in the Keys. I have chosen poorly. I am in a place everybody runs from. But honestly, and as a fellow nature nerd, it was awesome. You could see the clouds swirl. You could feel the temperature change. The thunderstorms that were, I think Thursday night were epic. And the Keys were 70 degrees on Monday, 75 degrees. And I'm going back for wedding season next week, set up wedding displays. And Miss Bob and I are in love with my life right now.
Isn't that a beautiful feeling?
It's almost nauseous, but in a good way. You know, it's the closest thing I can describe it is it gets pit in your stomach when you're falling in love with someone. But I feel that way about life. I've never felt that way about life. When I was always in the wrong lane or the wrong line or the wrong group or the wrong room or the wrong job or the wrong person or the wrong mission or the wrong t-shirt. And now I feel right. You helped inspire me on that too. With your transition. Particularly from the, you know, I've always asked myself, why would somebody in their 40s, 50s, or 60s do that to themselves? I mean, that seems like a lot. You know, even down with the program, not coming from an evangelical thing, coming from a practicality thing. I'm like, that's disruption. But then, me deciding that, hey, maybe I wanted to do wireless internet and fix diesel engines, even if they're on pick-em-up trucks, that's me being happy. You know, yelling, being a fine example of liberalism and a redneck bastion of fishermen and trucks and stuff like that, that's me being happy. Doing what my heart says instead of what my mind asterisk says, that's me being happy in it. If you do it the last week before your life, do it. Be happy on this fucking planet. Nobody has as much time as they think they do. And that's your mission on this planet. Be happy. Love yourself. Love your fellow man. Glorify God. That's it. And as a liberal Christian, Robin, as a woman, you're glorifying God. You saw inner light.
Well, I have a contentious relationship with most concepts of the deity, but I'm perfectly happy glorifying the goddess.
There's that too. There's so much toward chromosomal change in the animal kingdom, with something that starts off male and ends up female and vice versa. Usually due to circumstances. So it's definitely a thing. And none of these people speak for God, no matter how loudly they jump up and down and say they do. In fact, but my Seventh-day Adventurers people said, those are the motherfuckers that are going to bring the end of the world. And they're doing a good job. They're doing a good job. I'll leave y'all with, I'm hearing a lot of Christian music on Sunday. It's all programmed, and there's a point to this. It's not good. Sunday is not the day of rest. It's not the day of the Lord. It's, what's that word I'm looking for? Synthetic? What's the other word I'm looking for? A construct. I mean, we've already always been low-key blue anyway. But none of this is going to end well. So that's why I choose happiness on a daily basis. Shit, they had a shooting by my house last week. Did you talk about that in Hollywood Beach?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. After the Memorial Day weekend, it was part of the overall rundown of the American abattoir accounting.
That is 7 miles from my house, and it gets scarier that if I wasn't in the Keys, that's somewhere I might have been. And
actually,
I'll just leave it at that.
If it's South Florida, I always worry about you, Jerry. But listen, I'm glad.
Well,
I am so glad. I'm so glad that you are living a life that you can be happy in. Because that's really the most that any of us can ask. And when we find it, and when we get it, by God, we'd best pay attention.
How about this for you 12-steppers out in the group? A life that is better sober than it is fucked up.
There we go. And, you know, we have some... We have some folks in recovery. We have some folks who have been down that road, and I think they would probably agree with you, Jerry.
Well, I have a theory that only crazy people use drugs to drink alcohol to excess. And it's a new theory, and when I tell people that, they look at me like that famous cow staring at a new gate. All right? On my nighttime adventures, it's only been crazy people out there. People who are misdiagnosed, people who are on the wrong meds, and people just, they're not trying to get fucked up. There are people who are trying to get fucked up. I say true addiction is about 10-15%. But there's other people with some shit going on that nobody's listening to, that nobody will see them about until they commit a crime. So they just try to feel better and go to sleep at night and stop all the pictures or the sounds in their head. And nobody does anything for that. So what the 12 steps showed me is how to deal with the bipolar. The other shit going on. And it helped me grieve, too. That's a big part, too. There is no American grieving culture. You just keep going until you drink yourself to death, you have a DUI. Oh, I saw somebody die in the season. I got to talk about that. Or you shoot up the place. Those are the options. The reason why Trump worked is because everyone's fucked up. That really is the answer.
Yeah, he was a trauma mirror. I think that's a really smart thing to say. He was a trauma mirror for a lot of traumatized people who are hurt as a result. But, Scary Jerry, I have to go because I get to go and get Annette from our daughter's house and bring her back home, and it's going to be wonderful. Because she's my best friend.
I got poor Ted Lasso. I have Ted poor Ted Lasso to watch, so I'm very excited.
I'm not saying a word, but just when you get to episode 12, have the box of Kleenex handy. You're going to need it because it's some of the most
beautiful. I feel it's coming.
It's some of the most beautiful TV that I've ever seen made. And secondly, I need to thank Gino out in Utah. I was actually thinking of Gino and a couple of other folks when I mentioned the Happy Bible Band out there. Thank you, Gino. Gino met our kind anonymous internet friends challenge, and so instead of being at 1680 tomorrow, we will be at 1480, which is considerably better. It's not much different than what we were this evening. So thank you, Gino. Thank you so very much, Jerry. Thank you. Take care of yourself. We'll talk soon. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. Right. It was wonderful having a high quality phone call. And I think I made a really good decision. I think I made a really good decision ditching Verizon. I don't know why I didn't do it sooner.
Well, you know what? With phone companies, it's always who's better in your area. Branding doesn't mean shit. Who recently updated their switches? and put in new antennas. That's basically it. So sometimes it's T-Mobile, sometimes it's AT&T. It seems like Verizon gave us a lot of shit. That's why, I mean, you said 0.6. I was like, 0.6 gigabytes?
No, not gigabytes. 0.6 megabytes. And by the way, you're getting some affirmation from Matt in San Francisco. He said, American culture, Jerry's onto something. Our culture is balls to the wall until the wheels fall off. What's that favorite saying of yours? A normal person functioning well on the upper levels of a prosperous industrialized society can hardly hear his conscience at all. That was Kurt Vonnegut. And yeah, I think you get the profundity cowbell this evening, Jerry.
Well, thank you. I'm feeling profound and important. Hey, I'm doing my Hemingway thing now. I am doing a Hemingway thing, actually. I even got the beard, really, and the hat, really cool.
Well, look, stay. If you're doing the Hemingway thing, above all, stay off small aircraft.
Ernest Hemingway, is that how he died? I thought he committed suicide.
Oh, he did. But he had so many traumatic brain injuries that it's understandable how he got to where he was. I mean, he nearly died in a plane crash in Africa.
Not only did he have the brain injury, but he was bipolar.
Yep.
Click.
And while we're at it, probably trans AF. All you got to do is read the posthumously published novel, The Garden of Eden, and it's all right there. Listen, Jerry, I got to go. Because I got to get on the road.
I'm reading some Vonnegut anyway. All right, hug Annette for me. Take care.
I sure will. Later, Jerry. Bye. And I'm eager to get over there and bring her back home. Thanks, Scary Jerry. Thanks for the profound statement of the evening. Thank you again, Gino. Thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors this evening. That means Micah and Emilio and Ralphs and our anonymous friend. Again, Gino. Thank you all so very much. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. I was pretty much on my own in the chat room this evening, it looks like. But y'all behaved well. And I appreciate that. Not that anybody ever worries about you. Y'all behave. It's the occasional idiot who pops up. Scary Jerry, if you're still listening, Ralphs wants to know, did you go to the Hemingway home in Key West? God, I remember going through there in 1986. Yeah. Hey, Theo! In the chat room. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, and thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, like and subscribe, follow, do whatever the podcast thing is that you do on that podcast platform when you're listening to the podcast. It really does help. It makes a difference. And leave a comment. Tell your friends and neighbors. Post the link on your social media page. Build this community. Let's all build it together. I'll be putting it on my Facebook and Twitter later on this evening. Share it. It's shareable. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Stay safe. Get your booster, if you can. You still need it, if you're eligible. Wear your mask when you're around the maggots. You know why. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. There's all kinds of stuff going around out there. This is all just good advice for staying well. By the way, if you're out and about in the woods and the grass and the weeds and stuff, either you or someone you who cares about you, have them go over you and make sure you don't have any of those little damn deer ticks. You don't want it. I've never seen Lyme disease before. It sucks. Carry your hand sanitizer with you, pocket or purse. Use it frequently. Maintain your social distance. And let's see, who's the... if you happen to be out and about, and somebody comes toward you, like, say, Duclantis spokes creep Renfield, saying, "We're going to continue to fight the liberal gender ideology, ideologue liberals." I'll avoid that Renfield, that bug eater, like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.